In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We bless you from the house of the Lord. The Lord be with you, and let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you sent your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, to take upon himself our flesh, and to suffer death upon the cross. Mercifully grant that we may follow the example of his great humility and patience, and be made partakers of his resurrection. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. A reading from Zechariah chapter 9. Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter of Jerusalem. Behold, your king is coming to you. Righteous and having salvation is he. Humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace to the nations. His rule shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Christ entered once for all into the holy places by means of his own blood. Therefore he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that all who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance. He sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. And now an epistle from Philippians 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men. And being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. And now a passion narrative, select sections of St. Mark's Gospel, the 14th and 15th chapters. It was now 2 days before the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to arrest Jesus by stealth and kill him, for they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar from the people." Then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And when they heard it, they were glad and promised to give him money, and he sought an opportunity to betray him. And they went to a place called Gethsemane. And he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." And he took with him Peter and James and John, and began to be greatly distressed and troubled. And he said to them, "My soul is very sorrowful, even unto death. Remain here and watch." And going a little farther, he fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass from him. And he said, "Abba, Father, all things are possible for you. Remove this cup from me. Yet not what I will, but what you will." And he came and he found them sleeping. And he said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not watch 1 hour? Watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. And they led Jesus to the high priest. And all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together, for many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, We heard him say, I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another not made with hands. Yet even about this their testimony did not agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you? But he remained silent and made no answer. Again the high priest asked him, Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed? And Jesus said, I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power, and coming with the clouds of heaven. And the high priest tore his garments and said, What further witness do we need? You have heard this blasphemy. What is your decision? And they all condemned him as deserving death. And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, You also were with the Nazarene Jesus. But he denied it, saying, I neither know nor understand what you mean. And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And they crucified him, and divided his garments among them, casting lots for them, to decide what each should take. And it was the third hour when they crucified him. And the inscription of the charge against him read, The King of the Jews. And when evening had come, since it was the day of preparation, that is, the day before the Sabbath, Joseph of Arimathea, a respected member of the council, who was also himself looking for the kingdom of God, took courage and went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Pilate was surprised to hear that he should have already died. And summoning the centurion, he asked him whether he was already dead. And when he learned from the centurion that he was dead, he granted the corpse to Joseph. And Joseph bought a linen shroud, and taking him down, wrapped him in the linen shroud, and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock. And he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Joseph saw where he was laid. This is the Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise to you, O Christ. We confess our faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now for a sermon entitled, The Courageous Christ, based upon select verses from Mark 14 and 15. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Although it has always been the case, all indications moving into the future are that it is going to take a lot of courage on the part of Christians to maintain their claim of Christ as Lord and Savior. The culture is growing more and more hostile towards our Christ, and in turn, his Christians. It is no secret that the culture is heading off in a different direction than us. This has been happening for a while. At first, Christ and culture were not too far out of step from each other. After all, the ways of Christ are based on goodness, truth, and beauty. They promote what is pure, lovely, and excellent. Society sought these things too, and so the gap in between was narrow. However, it is presently widening. For example, Canada has one of the highest rates of euthanasia. Plans are to keep expanding access to it. The percentage of people dying from assisted suicide is staggeringly high. It's as though we find death the answer, and even glorify it. Unfortunately, death has been seen as the way to deal with unwanted pregnancies for a long time, too. Another obvious area where Christ and culture have become out of step is when it comes to issues of sexuality. It being an expression of love between a man and a woman, also to bring about the procreation of children, is considered just one valid option among many. Other expressions are being promoted and celebrated and even encouraged alongside the traditional view. Now I could go on, but I don't think I have to. You get the picture, since you have been living with it. The challenge is that you and I will be pressured to go along with the current trend. We may even be monitored by authorities overseeing that we are in compliance. We may not be allowed to speak about what is good, true, and beautiful. We may be out of line for just thinking differently. It's not all that bad, yet, thankfully. But what we see is that for Christians to remain faithful to God, His Word, and that which is good, right, and just, we will require courage. Christianity won't be for the weak, timid, and frightened, those who are easily intimidated and bow to pressure to conform. We will need to be like Jesus. As we begin this Holy Week with our Palm Sunday reenactment, we recall the courage that Jesus had to do what he did. Now, it was true that Jesus had grown very popular with the crowds. We see this as they took branches of palm trees and went out to meet him, crying out, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, even the King of Israel." This was a fine greeting. So what's the problem? The problem was that this would be a final straw for the Jewish authorities who opposed Jesus, seeing him as a problem, never as a solution. After Jesus' triumphal entry, the Pharisees said to one another, "You see that we are gaining nothing. Look, the world has gone after him." And from that point onward, the chief priests and scribes were seeking how to arrest him by stealth and kill him. Jesus, well aware that his crucifixion was coming upon his return to Jerusalem, and that it would result in the betrayal, the arrest, the sentencing, and then the crucifixion, courageously continued. After all, Jesus did not come to this world in human flesh to do what was easy. He came on a mission to do something extremely hard. In last week's Gospel, we heard Jesus say, "For even the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Jesus courageously entered Jerusalem, that he might pay the ransom for your sins, my sins, the sins of the world. It would be at the cost of his life. When Jesus stood on trial before the Jews, they had trouble coming up with two consistent testimonies necessary to convict him. Becoming frustrated, they sought to have Jesus testify against himself. The account states how the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, "Have you no answer to make? Is it that these men testify against you?" But Jesus remained silent and made no answer. He very well could have spoken in his defense. However, courageously, he let the false accusations fly, landing wherever. We learn again, the high priest asked him, "Are you the Son of the Blessed?" This time, Jesus answered, "I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven." That is when the high priest tore his garments and said, "What further witnesses do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?" And they all condemned him as deserving death. The only charge against him that stuck is Jesus' admission to be the Son of God. That's when the abuse began, for some began to spit on him and cover his face and strike him, saying to him, "Prophesy." And the guards received him with blows. Jesus went on to die a brutal death, crucified under Pontius Pilate. However, Jesus succeeded in what he not only came into Jerusalem to do, but what he came into the world to do. He paid that ransom required to get humanity away from the cruel grasp of sin, death, and the devil. We will celebrate this victory more fully next Sunday when we gather for Easter celebrations. Jesus courageously defeated our foes, rising from the dead. Now all who believe in Jesus, trusting in his blood that bought us back, are pardoned of their sins. They too will rise again after death to live with Jesus in his kingdom on the great day when we will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven. Thanks to Jesus, the sting of death has been removed. And friends in Christ, knowing this by faith gives you and me courage. And let's face it, you and I are going to require courage to live according to what is good, right, and true in these days, which good is called evil and evil called good. Expect to hear that we are on the wrong side of history for believing what is true. More and more, we will be in the minority as the cowardly fall away, denying Christ. I'm afraid that doing this is within the realms of possibility. In the Passion narrative, this is seen with Peter. Though he had started out courageous in the garden, he fled at Jesus' arrest. However, he followed at a distance. The account informs us that when Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with the Nazarene Jesus." But Peter denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you mean." And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. Two more times he was so accused, to the point where it is reported that Peter began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know the man of whom you speak." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. Jesus had warned Peter to pray that he might not fall into this temptation. Jesus warned him how the spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. If one like Peter, who was Jesus' main disciple, could give way to Jesus out of fear, realize that this is a reality for you and me. In fact, likely there are times when you and I have denied our Lord. We may have done so by not speaking up for what is good, right, and beautiful and true when we had opportunity for doing so. Fear can easily paralyze us. Fear can overcome us. Fear can rob us of our faith. The fact that culture is growing more hostile to Christ, in part, explains the demise of the church in countries like our own. People would rather go along to get along with the culture. You and I are not immune from this temptation. Jesus' instruction to watch and pray that you may not enter into temptation remains pertinent for us. May God forgive us for our lack of courage. And as we ponder upon Christ, especially this Holy Week, wherein he courageously entered Jerusalem to go about his work of ransoming us from sin, death, and hell, may we also be encouraged. Do not give way to fear, and take a bold stand on the side of Christ. Be like Joseph of Arimathea. He was among the Jewish leaders who did not go along with what happened. The account tells us that after Jesus died, Joseph took courage, and he went to Pilate, and he asked for the body of Jesus. This was a bold thing for him to do, and could have ended badly. However, it was the right thing to do, and Pilate agreed. Joseph wrapped him in the linen shroud and laid him in a tomb that had been cut out of the rock, and he rolled a stone against the entrance of the tomb. This man stands out as an example of courage. Friends, may you and I also be courageous Christians. It looks like we are going to have to be if we are to be Christians at all. Following Christ is not for the faint of heart. It is for those who trust in what will yet be more than they do in what presently is. As Jesus rode on to die, may we not love this world that we deny our Savior and His Word. By His grace, may we be encouraged to follow faithfully the courageous Christ. Amen. And now may the peace of God that transcends all understanding guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus until life everlasting. Amen. And now let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Lord God, your Son humbled himself to the point of death, even death upon a cross. Fix our faith upon his death for our salvation. Enrich the proclamation of the gospel and enliven our hearts to live out this faith until Christ comes again in glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Uphold this world in your order. Preserve the church and the preaching of your word against all enemies. Bless our homes that parents and children may serve one another faithfully and grow in instruction and faith until life's end. Give health and wisdom to all who serve in public office, that their authority may be exercised for the benefit of people. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. God Almighty, our Lord Jesus, did not count his equality with you something to be grasped, but he humbled himself. Grant us a mind like his to spurn all worldly equality and, humbling ourselves, to find your great portion in the life of the world to come. Grant us that courage that Joseph of Arimathea had. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord of hosts, your Son came to deliver his people from all evil. Take away the fear of all who suffer in this world. As they await the fullness of their salvation, fix their eyes upon their crucified Savior. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Eternal Lord, as your Son once entered humbly into Jerusalem to cries of Hosanna, so send him to us according to his promise in the Holy Sacrament whenever we partake, that we may eat of his body and drink of his blood in repentance and faith for the forgiveness of our sins and the unity of a true confession. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. We praise you, Father, that you have sent your Son, not in wrath, but in mercy. As we enter this most holy week and ponder together the mysteries of your great salvation, show us the answer to your people's prayers of Hosanna in the passion of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with his favor and grant you peace. Amen.